your impressions of some of your station chiefs who are all known to have been.
On that score, I have no comment.
No comment? Okay.
Nice guy, but on his work, I have no comment.
Okay. I understand that Gordon Jorgensen was also in OSS. Mm. Was he a Detachment 101 person? In the early days of ISEX, in that summer and fall of 67, ISEX was grafted onto the CIA station field operations organization. So initially,
it wasn't grafted on. It simply took advantage of it. In other words,
okay.
let's say the key agency. Put it this way, the province, or not the regional officer, you've heard the term ROIC,
right.
ROIC,
yeah.
Right? He was simply given his Phoenix or ISEX duties in addition to his duties.
Okay. And at what point
and
are they...
This was all done, there was nothing in writing that told him to do this, it was all done orally. He was simply told that you've heard whatever's in charge of.
Yeah.
You'll get it done here. You'll pass the word to your people, and you'll
okay.
act accordingly.
How quickly was, for instance, was Jim Ward, for instance, replaced as just go with a person? Did a person come in and say, "Well, now this person is going to be the Phoenix regional officer"?
No.
Okay.
And
then he just went back to his own duties. So in an instance,
he had left. And somebody else was in charge of his region before this happened, I believe. But when he was there, he was gone home. In other words, Jim Ward is Mr. Action.
You mean actually picking up a machine gun and going out with crews himself?
No, he wouldn't do that, but he would get in a helicopter, and he would go from province to province to province to energize and get things done.
Okay.
He would argue, harangue, and advise the Vietnamese to get going. He was a very personable, very energetic, a very, not just impressive, very convincing
person.
And he can get along very well with the Vietnamese, as far as I can see. He was pretty good with languages too.
Okay. Can you give me one of the people who is initially not an agency person who was on the spot, but a person who becomes like an original Phoenix appointee to a region?
God.
Were these people that you were in touch with?
Oh, yeah.
All the time?
And they varied. I'd say, as a rule, whether they were majors or lieutenant colonels or whatever, they were all very responsive, very active.
Okay.
Some had, I would say, better background, better experience for this than others.
Did you ever have State Department people, or was it just purely military?
The only State Department I had was in Saigon.
Okay.
And we only had one or two, maybe two or three of them. And they're the ones that are on here.
Oh, okay.
I've given you a couple of those names. And in so far, they had sort of staff-type duties, and they weren't, I don't believe, more than one or two of them were permanent sort of State Department.
Okay. How were Phoenix operations conducted in Saigon? Was Saigon a separate region?
Saigon was done by the people responsible for the police in Saigon.
And is that the municipal police?
Yeah.
As apart from purely the national police?
So it didn't have too much of a that sort of operation in Saigon per se. You didn't really get into this until you got into the field, that is, into the provinces.
So Phoenix is basically a provincial operation.
The operations actually are in province and district.
Because there certainly must have been VCI in Saigon. Oh, yeah. Must have been proportionately more.
Yeah, but...
why would it not have been applicable in Saigon?
That was in Saigon. It was the nearest thing would be a province advisor right on the edge of Saigon. I've talked
with Ralph McGeehy, who was the special branch advisor.
Insofar as operations per se in Saigon,
there were not Phoenix operations in Saigon.
No, not that I can recall. In other words, my staff, my group, had nothing to do with it.
I asked because I saw a film that was made about Phoenix by a Canadian guy. Mm-hmm. His contention was that Phoenix had done huge dragnets in Saigon.
Well, if they did, there were a lot of things were done in the name of Phoenix.
Well, this is one of the confusions
there are a lot of operations that were in order to, I suppose, get brownie points. Or to say that we've conducted X many Phoenix operations and then that looks good on your record. I think U.S. military did that too, but simply because they were ordered to conduct sweeps and so forth. And they might have picked up some VC, but they could just as well have been military as civilian.
Okay.
And if whatever the results were, it was conducted in the name of Phoenix. This comes into your record keeping.
Right, well that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. Did you have a computer person on your staff?
No, not essentially. I had people that fed information into the computer. The computers were run by cords, and we simply gave them the data. Ultimately, I resisted producing that kind of information, simply because garbage in, garbage out. And I was very afraid of getting. It comes from a whole mindset. I wasn't interested in numbers. I was interested in getting key people. It's just the same thing as you run into today in talking about guerrillas. They catch lots of little guys, but they never get the big one. And you can arrest the little ones, but the operation goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't really hurt them, you've just gotten bad. Well, it's just like getting people that are selling dope.
Yeah, right. Well, I get the guy who's selling nickel bags on the street.
And they're a dime a dozen. But it's the guy that's providing. Well, it's the same thing in the VC. It's very hard to get a really important one.
Okay. Can you talk about a particular operation?
No.
You're not allowed to.
No, I personally wasn't involved in any.
No, a name didn't come through to you, and somebody said, "This guy is so important, Mr. Parker. We really need to get a concerted effort after this." There was not that kind of involvement on your part.
No,
it wasn't like
the guys that. If you get down to Florida, if you see Ward,
I've loved him. Yeah,
he's probably one of the best people they can talk to on an operational level. Wall is too. You haven't talked to him yet.
No, but I called the number up and I got people named Hill live there. Oh. So I assume that it's an old number. Yeah. Well, I'll try to make an appointment to see you.
Ward would be a very good one to latch on to.
Okay. I had heard that lists compiled in a province of the people who's through interrogation or informants or whatever were all before they were acted upon at a province level, passed through the Phoenix Directorate in Saigon. Is that a fact?
No.
A province chief would write up his own list and act on it independently?
No, no. Operational control was done at whatever level, it's at the province level, or in other words, if it was something that the Vietnamese operated, it was strictly in Vietnamese channels. If the PRU, it would be done more or less under the PRU advisor or the agency's officer whose responsibility included the PRU.
Okay.
Because some of them had several different duties.
So Americans could unilaterally conduct a operation without telling the Vietnamese, and the Vietnamese if might do it without telling the Americans, and,
yeah,
and vice versa?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Again, people like Ward can give you a better feeling for that.
Okay. What are your impressions for General Loan?
Well, I liked General Loan, frankly. And I thought that even though he may have been guilty of some things that I would say Americans would regret,
mm-hmm,
for instance that thing of shooting that guy.
Yeah, the picture.
I think that was very ill-advised, although I think that the guy probably deserved to die, but
yeah,
not under those circumstances. I would have been much nicer if he'd had a trial and it was
okay,
a firing squad. Well, Luan did it. I thought that was a very rash and stupid act. But there again, that's his problem. He's a Vietnamese.
No.
But it caused lots of problems,
yeah,
just by his doing it.
Were you
at the time he, yeah, was being a very effective leader in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes. Place was in a sense going to hell in a hat box. And he was just simply exerting leadership, but under those very trying and dangerous circumstances, and shooting this guy, with, especially with a damn
camera
right there.
Yeah.
And allegedly the reporter who reported this, whose cameraman it was a friend of his, and he was falling around like a puppy dog.
Yeah. And a writer named Al Santoli recently interviewed him,
yeah,
in a book, and
yeah,
the guy has lots of regrets for having taken the photograph.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know him because I travel with him in a different area, but I think, gee whiz, and he's supposed to be a friend of his, if some,
mm-hmm,
friend to take this picture and then using it. I mean, a hell of a good picture, you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's very newsworthy.
Yeah.
But just like a lot of news, sometimes it's
not so good. I'll try not to keep you too much longer.
No, that's all right.
A few more questions, though.
No, that's okay.
There was the Phoenix National Committee, which was composed of the Army G2, G3,
yeah,
the guy from the Military Security Service, somebody whose name I don't know. Do you remember? Okay. And Revolutionary Development, Cadre, and Revolutionary Development also had representatives. When that committee would meet, would the American advisors come along? For instance, there would have been a senior American advisor to each one of these people. Would they have come along?
We had some meetings where both the American, the counterpart, if you will,
yeah,
we all met. It was a herd of turkeys. I mean, with so many of us.
There were. There were actually meetings. Were they for the purpose of organization?
Yeah, pretty much. Not operations. Because, I mean, you don't like to discuss operations with so many people. You have a security problem.
Right. Okay.
And the operations were really done by the so-called action agencies. And if there needed to be cooperation, then the Vietnamese would consult.
Mm-hmm.
If they trusted their head of the other, or it's very hard to generalize.
Okay. I'm not trying to, I don't want to generalize, but maybe you could pick an instance and tell me what it was like with a meeting when everybody was there. I mean, what kind of a atmosphere would there have been? In the early days, I assume, when the program was still very secret, and well, not you, widely known? Was there a feeling of enthusiasm? Was there
more,
tension? What was the atmosphere like?
More curiosity than anything else.
Okay.
I would say curiosity, why are we here? sort of thing.
Okay, so would some of the people like the G2 or G3 be a little...
When we had some of these figures, I'd say a large-scale meeting of that sort was generally one at which Colby was present for Comer.
Okay.
In order to lend authority to make sure the direction was given. I attended meetings several times in various areas which were purely Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there simply as the U.S., their U.S. counterpart. Now, obviously I couldn't understand what was going on.
Yep.
But I had an interpreter, but there again, if I had an interpreter, I was never sure that I was getting everything that was said.
Okay.
Or parts of it. I know in a couple of instances I got, not all, because I knew enough Vietnamese words, I could tell they were talking about something different. I wasn't getting the whole of it. Because, it all depended who the interpreter worked for, you know. Was it a police interpreter? I didn't have any interpreters of my own at that level I could take with me. The only interpreters I had were those with girls in the office in South Carolina. Or if Gould was with me, he could have told me he was at State.
Okay. I understand he's a state prosecutor in Columbus, Ohio.
Is he really? He's a very nice guy. Yeah, he's a very nice guy. I'm glad to know that.
So Gould at the time acted as your, or Gold. Is it Gold or Gould?
Gould.
It is Gould.
In Saigon.
Okay. How much of your time was divided... How would you say your amount of time was divided between Saigon and then actually doing inspections or
more
briefings?
I was more time in Saigon, although I did go out, and usually when I went out to the field, I went out with my counterpart, or with my opposite numbers, or I went with Colby, or with the chief of stage, or something like that. Okay. I did some travels on my own, of course. But if I didn't go to the field, then my deputy would go out, or other people on the staff. We tried to maintain contact with the field. By the field, I mean the regions.
Okay. And we're...
And for instance, when we had Robert Thompson there, you know, the...
Oh, yeah. Was he much help?
He was some help, because his situations were different in that, in a nutshell, in every situation that he talked about and that he'd worked with in Malaya, for example, the British could give orders,
okay.
Whereas in Vietnam we could only advise. Now obviously the Americans had top because we had all the money and had all the goodies to give out.
Yep.
So we had a great deal of influence, but we couldn't specifically order somebody to do something.
Okay.
The British could, they're in charge.
Did he have anything to say about how to correct that or how to deal with that?
He was helpful. He would talk with the Vietnamese. He would compare things. He gave some ideas. He was, and there were a handful of British officers working with the USAID police group in Saigon.
With John Monopoly?
Yeah. Maybe one or two.
One might have been David Duncanson.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like it.
Yeah, all right.
Well, they were okay, but they were nothing special.
Well, I never could understand why they were called upon in the first place.
They were nothing great.
Did anybody like General Lansdale have input into Phoenix?
Although I knew Lansdale from earlier days.
Okay. What about people from Revolutionary Development? I understand the Rev Dev Cadre participated in Phoenix operations. Can you tell me about your relationship with...
Either a personal relationship, or I had no command or anything like that, but they cooperated because they, like all the activities of the station, were being as helpful as they could. And if they had a capability, they had access to... Sort of thing that helped, sure.
In terms of resources, people, ideas, whatever?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, and this is all done basically on an informal...
informal
basis.
Okay. But always with the fact that in addition to being the Phoenix, though, I was also a senior officer wearing my other hat.
Okay.
By the guy that paid for me. And I attended staff meetings and so forth. Not all of them, but
station staff meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was simply because I, particularly during my period, I don't know the extent to that continued after I left, but during the formative period when the mm-hmm. agency played such a significant role in organizing and getting this thing going, it was under the Hart period and under his immediate successor.
Ted Shackley?
Not so much with Shackley.
Is there somebody after Hart? In between Shackley?
It was Hart, and there's a guy in between Hart, his successor, and then Shackley.
Oh, really? I thought it would have been.
He was only temporary. He was the deputy. He was Hart's deputy.
Oh, okay.
That was a very short period.
Can you tell me who it was?
I can't. Honestly, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be...
Oh, no, I understand. And if it's,
If you would let me name his name, I'll tell you, yes, he was, but yeah. I can't think of it.
Lou Lappin?
Lappin. L-A-P-H-A.
You wouldn't happen to know if he's still around?
At the foggiest luncheon.
Okay. You did say you went to 101 luncheons, but the Saigon luncheon stopped.
There were very few of them. So okay. I think I went to one or two of Phoenix or things like that.
Okay.
I think I lectured once or twice at Fort Bragg, and that was it. Then my duties changed.
Revolutionary development, as opposed to the police. Were you concerned with that as a program or not? You had
not
really no interest in.
I knew about it and how it was set up and what they could do to assist us in the field. The RD program did have, among its other functions, a sort of a low level security function. But
that's, I don't understand what a low-level security is.
Well, that is, R.D. Kadri, I don't know, it's in all, I can't tell you precisely what it is, because I've forgotten.
Okay. What is a low-level security function, generally?
Just local security, sort of thing. The RD Kadri.
Oh, okay. They were in an area. They were responsible for security.
And they weren't armed. Their jobs were really quite different. I've forgotten on it.
Okay.
The details of what the RD Kadri.
No, that's quite all right. I was just wondering if it was a fundamental part of Phoenix or not. Basically, that was my
unless
question.
Unless it's in okay. The stuff there.
Okay. I just had a question on my head, and then
at one time, you know, I had all kinds of stuff in files. I had examples of Phoenix operation. I gave all of that to Ralph Johnson
mm-hmm.
in order to contribute to his papers. That is all the unclassified stuff.
Yeah.
And I had all kinds of stuff that was put out at the time.
Mm-hmm. May I take a minute to think and to see if I have any...
Sure,
look through my notes.
Take your time and I'll go... where Colby was so decent about things, because Colby took it upon himself to be the front man and all that sort of thing.
And,
I was on the list to appear a couple of times, but in every instance I was excused.
This is something that's of interest to me, because in my conversations with William Colby, and I've twice met with him,
mm-hmm.
he was not really, in many respects, all that aware of the formation, how Phoenix was actually formed.
No, because he wasn't out there.
Right.
That was in Comer's period.
Yeah, and in many instances was not aware of what I thought were basic, fundamental parts of Phoenix.
No.
How he was it something that he took upon himself to take the heat,
No, he was more concerned with things that occurred on his watch. In other words, if as the director of Chords, the program came under him in an advisory capacity.
Okay. So he felt it was his responsibility.
Yeah, if as I say, it occurred on his watch, as I say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Comer never testified.
No.
So, Comer obviously didn't have the same, didn't feel the same way.
I don't think he was asked to.
Okay.
I don't know. That's curious. I never. That's an interesting observation.
Yeah. I see, this was unrelated.
Unrelated, yeah. Well, it's just,
yeah.
Inman was a great sense of humor.
Well, when I was interviewing Coley, he produced a letter from John Tilton, and the envelope, on the envelope it said, what are your feelings about the Vietnam War? And, you know, your role in it. I'm sure it's something you've thought about.
Yeah, but I always figured I went because I was told to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a believer. I'm sort of like the soldier's response. You go where you're told to go. And that's the enemy. Go fight him. And whether you like it or not, you have a choice. You can either quit, you know, resign, or you do as you're told, and you do the best you can to make it work. I was very sorry to see the Americans involved in that, because I remember an earlier time when the subject of Americans going to Vietnam and fight was taken up at a staff level. This is not an agency thing. And it was thought not to be a good idea to send Americans to Vietnam. And I still don't think it was a good idea. I remember during the World War II talking to a Vietnamese person who ultimately was what we call a Viet Minh, and he indicated that they were prepared to fight until the French got tired of sending people out there.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question for you. Did you ever, or were you finished with what you were going to say?
Yeah, sure.
Were you, did you ever go down to the National Interrogation Office Center and interrogate prisoners?
No.
Was that?
I never participated in
any kind of operational things at all.
Okay. I've seen and heard in movies and everything else all kinds of bad things about things like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't say. I've heard that the interrogation center was not a good place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never were there.
The closest I came to a I would say a place that had an evil reputation was Flat Island.
Khon
Son. I went to.
Okay.
And even when I visited there, I didn't personally see any of the evil things that were alleged to have taken place there. And that isn't to say that they weren't taking place, that they couldn't have taken place, but I did not see it. And I did not see any prisoners that were being maltreated. Again, I saw what I was allowed to see.
Yeah.
Where there was something else to see, I don't know. And I think I went to concert twice.
Forgive me, these are questions that I,
ask away.
Yeah. Any Phoenix coordinators in the province level that you remember that you think might be an articulate person living in Massachusetts, hopefully, who might be interesting for me to talk
honestly,
to about operations?
I just can't remember any of those. maybe the maybe
wall
the,
is that?
Oh my god, these. These look like... This is the police.